we are being told the committee is not going to be allowed to have any participation in this, that a draft will come out today, but that will just be, you know, some basic principles, that we won't see the bill till next week, that there will be no committee hearings where we can get members of the public or patients or doctors or hospitals to offer their view, and they're going to try to force it to a vote within 2 or 3 days of when the bill is released to everybody.
Can this bill, Senator, pass with 51 votes, or do they need 60 votes to put the, to make this a law?
Well, what they're trying to do, there's a narrow procedure. Most legislation, as you point out, takes 60 votes in the Senate, but there's a narrow procedure called budget reconciliation, where if they do things that are sort of purely budgetary in nature rather than non-budgetary policy moves, they can pass something with 51 votes. And what they want to try to do is pass something purely with Republican votes and cut out the public and cut out the Democrats. So they're trying to get 50 out of 52 Republicans to agree. Then they would use the vice president as a tiebreaker, cut out the public, cut out the Democrats. And I can guarantee you this, even if they succeed, by not having meaningful public process, letting the public look at the bill, having hearings, asking people what they think, letting Democrats use the committee to offer amendments, for example, by not doing that, there will at least be major unintended consequences of the bill that will come back and bite them, and we'll be right back trying to fix this 6 months or a year from now. They ought to engage in a meaningful dialogue now. The right thing is go ahead and put out the bill, and then put it in the two committees that have jurisdiction, finance and the help committees, have hearings, allow amendments to be offered, and then you'll get a better work product. But right now they are destined, they seem determined not to do that.
We're talking to U.S. Senator Tim Kaine. What's the principal thing, Senator, that really bothers you? I know we got your release yesterday about Medicaid reimbursements that would come back to the states that, I guess, what would go away or be reduced. What's the principal concerns for you?
Yeah, so the big ones are hurts people with pre-existing conditions. Millions of people will lose health insurance, according to the CBO, and premiums will go up pretty dramatically, especially for seniors. But I've shown a spotlight on something that not a lot of people are talking about, which is hurts kids. Why does it hurt kids? Well, the combination of the House bill and the Trump budget would cut Medicaid by $1.3 trillion over 10 years. 60% of the recipients of Medicaid in Virginia, and it's about the same nationally, are children. Children who are getting treated in children's hospitals for cancer and other diseases. Kids in local school systems who have disabilities and the school systems provide them services, they can get reimbursed by Medicaid for those services. Kids who are in danger of going into institutions because of troubled home life, but there can be some services provided to their family to stabilize home life, then they don't have to go into institution that's paid for by Medicaid. So when you cut $1.3 trillion out of Medicaid, 60% of the recipients of Medicaid are kids. You hurt kids. 20% are people with disabilities. Another 10 to 15% are our parents and grandparents in nursing homes. That's who you hurt. And the thing that really makes me mad is that number, $1.3 trillion cut over 10 years, the bill also gives wealthy people, largely, a $900 billion tax cut over 10 years. So one way to look at this bill is it's just really a tax cut bill that is financed by slashing Medicaid for kids, seniors, and the disabled. And I just think that's heartless.
I know, I think a week or two ago, reportedly, President Trump said this bill was kind of mean and cold-hearted. Now, I guess one of the things the Senate bill will do will drop the House bill's plan that would allow states to boost premiums on some people with pre-existing conditions. But is this bill any less mean than what President Trump may have been alluding to?
Well, we're not 100% sure. You're right. President Trump had the House leaders down to the West Wing, and they had a big party when they passed the bill. But then he turned around and said it was too mean and the Senate should do a bill that showed a little more heart. What we're hearing, though, is the Senate bill is still going to slash Medicaid. It's still going to allow states to kick people around if they have pre-existing conditions. This is what we're hearing. And the bill is definitely not going to meet the three promises that President Trump made. President Trump, as a candidate and since he was inaugurated, said, under my plan, nobody's going to lose coverage, nobody's going to pay more, and nobody with a pre-existing condition is going to be in jeopardy. The bill's going to flunk all three of his promises. And that's why we shouldn't just jam it through. We should, you know, have hearings and propose amendments because, hey, I'd vote for any bill that met President Trump's three promises. Nobody loses coverage. Nobody pays more. Pre-existing conditions folks are protected. If a bill meets the Trump promises, I'm going to vote for it. But there's no way I'm going to vote for a bill that violates the promises that he made.
Just a couple more questions. One of them is, and we talked with U.S. Senator Tim Kaine. I heard Senator Ted Cruz the other day say that changes to health care have been debated over the years, that the public has voted to replace the Affordable Care Act when you look at the result of the last three elections. Do you agree with the senator that this has been debated enough and it's time to pass a bill?
No. Has the subject of health care been debated? Sure. People talk about health care all the time. But to say that this bill should be passed with no public input is ridiculous. I mean, you know, again, just the committee I'm on, the HELP committee, when the Affordable Care Act was debated, had 50 hearings about it. And Republicans successfully made 145 amendments to make the bill better. They ended up voting against it on the floor because their leadership told them we should all be against it. But they did offer amendments, and the amendments made the bill better. So why would we do it now and not offer the public a chance to weigh in and not offer meaningful opportunities for amendments in committee? So I know the Republicans, they're sort of feeling a little bit ashamed of the process. People like John McCain, Senator Ron Johnson, Senator Susan Collins are saying, it's not just Democrats are saying the process stinks. A lot of the Republicans are too. But they have the ability to do something about it. So the right answer is put the bill out on the table, but then put it in the two committees. And if you don't want to have it go on for 6 months, just say, fine, during the month of July we'll have hearings and we'll vote on it at the end of July. But at least open up the windows and let the sunshine in. Let the public know what's in the bill and let there be a meaningful opportunity through the amendment process to improve it before you try to jam it through with Republican votes.
Why have not the Democrats maybe been able to get enough traction on this issue? You know, the last two special elections in Montana and Georgia, they couldn't overcome the Republican candidate. Is this not resonating with enough people out there that they say, hey, this is a real threat?
Listen, I know one state well. It's Virginia, and Virginia is one of the best battleground states in the country. And we just had an election last week and for governor, primaries for governor and lieutenant governor, and health care was a huge issue in these primaries. And in Virginia, where people don't register by party but get to walk in and say, I want the Democratic ballot or I want the Republican ballot, Democrats voted 50% higher than Republicans did, and there was a heavy discussion about health care in this. So you go into a congressional district that's a gerrymandered Republican district, it's no surprise that a Republican wins. But in a state that's one of the best bellwether states in the country, where we had a statewide election last week, what we saw is much discussion about health care, and Democratic energy was very, very strong, much stronger than Republican energy. I think that bodes well.